Are you guys okay? Oh, that's awesome. Hey, I want to show you a picture of a young man here. That's William Seymour. How many have heard of William Seymour? You heard of William Seymour? William Seymour. William Seymour was pastored several churches in the early 1900s, even the late 1800s. He went to Bible school in Kansas when he was a young man, and he went to a Bible school that was predominantly white. And because he was black, his table, his desk was in the hallway, and they left the door open just a crack so he could hear what was going on. Thank God we're not doing that anymore. But you know, he pursued God. He pursued. He didn't let that cause any pain to his heart or life. I'm sure it may have. I'm sure it did. But you know what? He just pursued God, went after God. And he went down to Houston. He began to pastor there. But where he went to in his school in Kansas, there were people there talking about that there was a belief that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for today. And not just a baptism of the Spirit, but with tongues and signs of tongues accompanying that. And he believed that. He believed that with all his heart. And he was in Houston preaching at his church. And a lady was visiting from California, from L.A., and she heard him preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and said that this has got to happen. People have to have this. This is important for the church today to walk in the power from on high. And he'd never had the experience himself. Never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was preaching something that he personally did not experience. How many know that sometimes you got to talk about it before you see it? Sometimes you got to declare and confess your healing. You know, somebody goes, "You're not healed. What are you talking about?" I certainly am, because by his stripes, I was healed. I was healed. Not I might be healed, not even that healing is available, but I was healed. It's finished. It's done. And you know what? Even though you don't see it, he's working. Even if you don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they invited him to come to LA, and he came to LA, and he preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were going to have a week of meetings, but the leadership of the church didn't like what he was preaching, said it was heresy, and so they locked the doors and wouldn't let the services continue. So they moved the services to a lady's home on Bonnie Bray Street, and people came, and then all of a sudden, one day, a lady got whacked in the Holy Ghost. She hit the floor, and all of a sudden, they were like, whoa, there it is. And then one after another, people began to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People began to get healed. People began to get delivered of mental disorders, and miracles and things began to take place. And suddenly everybody came to this place. Such a crowd gathered that one day there were a huge crowd just on the porch out front, and the porch collapsed under the weight of everybody that was there. Hey, is anybody listening? So they decided to go and rent a place, and it's this place right here. Next slide there, boom, there it is. Right there, they went and rented that place. And it was a place that they were using as a stable for horses. So they were using it as a stable for animals, and they went and they cleaned it out, and they started to hold services right there. You see on the side of the church, Apostolic Faith Gospel Mission. Mr. Seymour and the people who ministered to him, a lot of them went to Wales and got impacted by the Welsh Revival. And in the Welsh Revival, the churches there took on the title Apostolic Faith. And that's the roots of us. Our roots are right from the Welsh Revival. In fact, history shares that the roots of our fellowship in Great Britain, our roots are the very roots of Pentecost, because the hunger that was stirred in these people to experience what they experienced began in the visitation that happened in Wales. In Wales, the visitation totally changed the nation. The nation was totally transformed, completely transformed. So they began to hold these services, and people started to come from everywhere. People came from every nation. People came from every background, every race, every socioethnic background. I mean, it didn't matter what you were. You had money, didn't have money. Didn't matter what color your skin was or what your gender was, man, woman, didn't matter. Anything. It's just you came, people who came hungry, people came and heard there was something going on. Everybody got whacked in the Holy Ghost. They said there's people, women who had their hair in long ponytails, they get so impacted by the Spirit that you could hear their ponytails going. It was like a whip. They were just so moved by God. There were so many manifestations and so many healings and so many things took place in that place. And that's the whole Pentecostal revival that took place there on Azusa Street. Now, Brother Seymour, I'll give you a little slide there. I don't want to give you a whole history. You can look at it and research it. But Brother Seymour generally sat behind two empty shoeboxes, one on top of the other. He usually kept his head inside the top one during the meetings in prayer. Where's the pastor? See those apple boxes up there? Yeah. Well, he's got his head in the top one. It seemed a bit strange, but you know, he's a very humbling man. He was had lost one eye. He was a black man, wasn't allowed in the class when he got trained in Bible school. Started to minister, got kicked out of the church. They locked the doors, went to a little home, and then they went and got a barn and a stable. But God found him in the barn and the stable. And people came from all over the world. There's no pride there. The services ran almost continuously. It began in April 9th, 1906 and ran to 1915. And that's the roots of all of us who were Pentecostals and charismatics. It all stirred up out of there. But I want you to know that it was, thank God, to a black brother. This is Black History Month, and there are so many wonderful, beautiful people from our black background and from our African-American background folks who have been such a ridiculous blessing to moving the church forward. And so we're very, very grateful. And I love this church a lot, and I love it because there's everything here. We got all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of places. We got people rich, we got people poor, we got people that are from nations all over the world, we got every gender and every background and every race and ethnicity, and I think that's a good thing, don't you? And you know, people notice that. They come in and they see the church and they see, and one of the things that really moves a lot of people is they love the fact that this church is diverse in age. And they like, you know what, there's young and there's old. And they're all flowing together and moving together. And I think that's a great thing too. Amen? Amen. Say amen. Say thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. All right, I've interrupted our Outfit of the Day series just because last week I really felt the Lord wanted me to just pause. I thought I'm going to preach on healing after we get through this, but I got so stirred up, I just pulled the trigger and started preaching on healing last week. I'm going to do it again this week. I'm going to do it again next week. And I do want to get back to the outfit of the day because I want to finish up and talk about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the spirit because it's important. But I really felt I wanted to hit healing right now. I wanted to hit it. Last week, I talked about how simple healing is. Healing is very, very simple. And we've made it complicated. We've made, you know, coming to Jesus, accepting him as your savior, saying my sins are forgiven, everybody's okay with that. But then getting healed, well, that's a struggle. And it's really not. It's really not. Because by his stripes, you were healed. You know, the same act of crucifixion, the same act of his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, that same act guarantees your healing. It doesn't just guarantee that your sins are forgiven. It guarantees that you are healed. Has anybody been successfully sick for a long time? And you know, we all sometimes walk around with these contradictions and these difficulties, you know, but the truth of the matter is, even if I don't see it, he's working. And I'm not gonna take my experience and I'm not gonna reduce my theology to my experience. I'm not gonna say, well, this is what's happening in my life, therefore it must be different. I know what you're saying, Pastor, and I know the way you see it, but because my experience is different, I'm gonna reframe and develop a theology where that's not exactly true. I'm not going to do that ever. I'm never going to, with my own mind, create a doctrine about God that is not God. He is the Lord who heals you. You are healed in Jesus' name. You were healed because he received those stripes in his back, and it is finished. It really is. So last week, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood, and we talked about how simple it was just to touch the hem of his garment. So God is willing to heal all the time, say all the time. It is always his will that healing be manifest. Why would he purchase the right to manifest something on our behalf and then withhold it from us? How many ever grew up where your parents got new furniture, put it in the living room, and you weren't allowed in? I mean, I had some friends, they put plastic on the furniture, and you know, you'd go over to their house on a sweaty Saturday and get stuck on the furniture, and you know, Nice plastic. That's awesome. Anybody have family where you put plastic on the furniture? Was that anyone? I see those hands. That's so amazing. That is so awesome. I visited their home. So anyway. But my wife would, with our kids, she would vacuum the living room. We had carpet, and she'd love those nice lines on the carpet. And if she did the lines on the carpet, we were not allowed to walk in the living room. We could not. The funniest thing is, I was here at the men's breakfast yesterday, which was so awesome. It was so good. And while I was here, Cheryl did a whole bunch of cleaning at the house. Today, I had to go to our guest bathroom and take a shower because Cheryl said, I took a long time, and you look at that. The glass sparkles, the tile sparkles. She said, you look at that. And I'm not kidding. She made me shower in the guest room. She said, we're going to keep it just like that for a while. You cannot take your filthy self in there. Yes. And that really happened today. Like, pray for me. Like, my God. You know, I just like, what is going on? You know, sometimes we think God's like that. Like, some stuff is, it's restricted, or it just happens randomly, or it doesn't happen all the time. But I'm telling you, God is willing to heal all the time. Why would he purchase something for us? Why would he, through the death of his own son, secure our redemption, body, soul, and spirit, and then say, hey, you know, this only happens once in a while, and it's only for really, really good people who deserve it. I mean, thank God that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Oh, wow. I tell you, God comes and he embraces broken people. God walks into messy lives. Aren't you glad? We sang that today. I mean, while it was a mess, God showed up in my mess, and he shows up in my mess every day still. Isn't that good? All right, so there are no deficiencies on his part in compassion, in promise, or performance. We must settle this issue in our part, for there is no lack in him. There's no lack in him. So as far as it depends on God, it is done, done, done. Done. All right. Mark chapter 6, 56, whenever he entered a village or city or town or country, and that's what we're saying, he is here. Standing in our midst, we worship him. You see, the leper, the word was proconeo. He came and he bowed down proconeo. He kissed towards him. I mean, lepers should not be running towards people. They should be running away saying, unclean, unclean. And that was the law. The law makes you run away. The law causes shame. The law says you're broken. But the grace of God says, come and let me deliver you from every filthy thing. I mean, how many have ever got something happen to you and you deserved it because you're the one who did it? You brought it on yourself. Whoever brought something on themselves? Well, you're going to wait a long time because you were evil. That's not true. I love it. And Isaiah says, I've seen your willful ways, and yet I will heal you. Isn't that great? So I don't know about you. I'm saying, God, if I were God, man, I tell you, I'd make me wait a bit. But he says, well, thank God you're not God. And he is fresh every day. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Whenever he entered the villages, the people came in the marketplace and they begged that they might just touch the hem, the tzitzit, just touch the tassel of his garment, just touch that garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Anyone who touched him. Now, if you got somebody near you that you can touch, just touch their shirt, just a little, just touch. That's it. That's all they did. They just... As many as got their lives right, they fasted and prayed and confessed all their sin and got everything worked out, as many as got everything and they qualified themselves for an encounter with God, all those who totally separated themselves through hard work and discipline, they were allowed to come and just touch him. No, anyone, whoever touched him. That's how simple it was. That's how simple it was. Just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Mark 5, when she heard, say heard. See, there's a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she heard people were just touching Jesus. People were just touching that tzitzit, and they were being healed. So she decided, although she was unclean, although she was supposed to isolate herself from everybody else, she decided, I'm leaving the house. I'm not crying out unclean. I'm going to push my way through the crowd, and I'm going to get to Jesus, and I'm going to touch him. Because she heard if everybody else touched them, they got healed. I am going to get healed too. Are you going to get healed today? Are you going to get healed today? Because I tell you, it's done. It's finished. Anything you need, you don't got to wait. You don't got to wait for a prayer line. You don't got to wait for suddenly the anointing filled the room. He's here right now. You can be healed right now. Just say thank you. Just touch that area where there's pain and say, pain, be gone in Jesus' name. Pain, you got to go. You're an interloper. You have no legal right to touch my body. You have to go. You're a liar. You're a dog and a thief. I command you to go in Jesus' name. That's the truth. Know the truth. And the truth will make you free. All right, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him and she touched him, for she said, if only I can touch his clothes, I will be made well. So she heard, she said, she came, she touched, she was healed. That's why I want to talk about healing, because sometimes we got to hear it. We got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. And sometimes we got the wrong theology on healing. And if you got the wrong theology on healing, you're probably going to get the wrong manifestation. Not because God's reluctant, but because God moves when you engage him by faith. There's nothing happens. Faith is simply the bridge that brings the heavy cargo of God's blessing into your life. It's just faith. It's by faith alone and nothing else, or else I could boast and say, look what I did for myself. It's just him. It's simple faith, because everything is grace, the unmerited favor of God. So there's the tassels. I got the tassels there, a little picture. That's it. Beautiful thing about the tassels. The tassels are represent. Tzitzit is a 600. Then there's a 5 knots. And then there's 8 threads. And that represents 613, represents the law. The law came through Moses, but grace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the 5 represents grace, and the 8 represents a new beginning. So when you touch the grace of God, there's a new beginning in your life. It's a prophetic revelation, and the people got it, and it was a prophetic revelation. They on purpose touched the tzitzit. Why did they do that? Because there was a word of prophecy about the tzitzit. Here it is right here, Malachi 4:2. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy. You will leap like calves let free from the pasture. There's healing in his wings. If you study that wings, the wings is the corners, the edges. It's the tzitzit that Jesus wore on his garment. Every garment Jesus had, he wore tzitzits, which identified who he was. And it had the blue of the throne of God. And you had access to the kingdom of God just by touching the hem of his garment. Settle down. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and me. I went to church and something happened. He touched me. Has anybody been touched by Jesus? Good, good, good. Because there's healing in his wings. Psalm 78, verse 40. Yes, again and again they tempted, they provoked God. Yes. Again and again, they provoked God. Again and again, they tempted God. Again and again, they shoved God to the margins. Again and again, they tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, that is a wild thing that me, little old me, can say no to God. Little old me can have a mindset that is opposed to the revelation of who he is. Little old me can build my own little theological structure that keeps God on the outside. They limited God. They limited God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit him, Pastor? I'm glad you asked that question. They did not remember his power. This is all going to be God. Nothing else. Just God. We're going to keep it real simple so nobody can boast. It's God. They limited him by not remembering his power and the day he redeemed them from the enemy. He did it. And then they started to develop their own systems and own structures. And they limited God because they forgot about his power. Amen. Who's here? All right. Judges 2:10. After that generation died, another generation grew up that did not acknowledge God and did not remember the mighty things he had done from Israel. It's a really sad thing when a generation rises up who hasn't seen God move. And when you another generation gets up and the other generation, that's why I wanted to share with you Mr. Seymour and what happened with him in the Welsh revival, because if it happened before, it'll happen again. There's never going to be a generation where God was more powerful than this one. We in this generation, it says David was faithful in his generation, and then he went to sleep, then he died. We as a generation have to put a demand on a move of God in our generation. And I desperately want the next generation to see a heaven-sent, sin-killing, glory-healing demonstration of God. Don't you? I want to see that. I want to see that. Boy, I tell you, when Jesus healed people, it says from every town and every country, they brought people. I mean, somebody who's here because of a loved one who's in need heard about Impact Church. I should go to Impact Church. I want it so that the ambulance drivers hear about Impact Church. Settle down. After that generation died, another generation grew up that didn't know God and did not remember the mighty things. Do you remember the mighty things? Does anybody remember the mighty? Rehearsing the mighty things is a big deal in God. Remember is a big deal. Acts chapter 4, all the way to Acts chapter 4. The church is born. They're baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean, they're moving in power and strength. And all of a sudden, some of their leaders got arrested. They got thrown in jail. They got beaten and whipped. And then they said, don't preach the gospel anymore. No! That's not what they said. They said, don't use the name of Jesus anymore. Listen to me. They did not get arrested and whipped and told, don't preach the gospel anymore. They got told, don't use the name of Jesus. Because when they used the name of Jesus, heaven invaded every circumstance and situation. Because they knew that we have authority in the name of Jesus. And you just got to be an average person, and you know that Jesus gave you authority in his name. I mean, a kid can use in the name of Jesus. And that doctrine's got to be elevated, because we got all kinds of other stuff. It's in the name of this and that and the other thing. No, I tell you, freedom comes in the name of Jesus. And they were told, don't do that anymore. At the Gate Beautiful, when they healed the guy, he said, you're looking at me as if through my piety or something special about me, I did this. It's nothing about me. All I did was use the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. So here's what they said. Now, Lord, we were arrested and they told us don't do it anymore, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to come to you. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants all boldness that we may speak your word. And by stretching out your hand to heal, we're going to speak your word. But Lord, we don't want to do this unless you stretch forth your hand and heal, and signs and wonders be done through the name, through the name. We're going to go and speak boldly, and we're going to use the name. And now, Father, when we use your name, stretch forth your hand and heal. When we use your name, let signs and wonders take place whenever we minister and we preach your word. This isn't something that gets to happen once in a while. This isn't something that, oh, come on, let's push that to the margins. Let's do the Bible study and let's do the stuff. No, this isn't in the margins. This is what has to happen. If Bible studies would have changed the world, it should have happened a long time ago. How many Bible studies can you get on the internet right now? Man, you can download a million sermons. If sermons would have changed the world and caused the broken and the hungry to come and be restored to Jesus, it would have happened a long, long time ago. But it's a people who are baptized in the revelation of the power and spirit of God, who understand what it means to use the name of Jesus and have an expectation that healing is for today and miracles are for today, and signs and wonders are not in the margin of Christianity. They're central to who we are. Three people. Now they knew Jesus was in heaven. They knew that. They knew he was in heaven. So what are they asking for? They're asking for God to use them. They're asking, as the body of Christ, to manifest his healing touch. Let our hands be your hands. Let our hands be you extended. Let it continue the healing work to the broken and sick world. Acts chapter 5. What comes after 4? Are you sure? Really? 3. Just lay your hand on him right there, Jesus. What comes after 4-5? So here's what happened. They prayed. They asked that to take place. And Acts chapter 5. And by the hands of the apostles, mighty signs and wonders were done. Mighty signs and wonders were wrought with the apostles. Clearly, their prayers answered. 5:16. It says, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities. Who wants to see that just a little bit? Not because we want to be a cool church. Like, we want to be like the biggest crowd in town. I don't give a rip. Honest to God, most days I'm terrified and I'd rather be golfing. Not because I want to golf more, but because this is terrifying sometimes. To say what I'm saying and to believe what I'm saying and to step out of the boat and do what we're doing. We're risking everything right now and believing that we're going to do this and God's going to show up. Some days I wish we'd have just stayed at 220 Adelaide. Would have had a paid off building, no struggles, lots of money. And I could have slept at night instead of worrying about contractors and stuff. Why are we doing this? I'm getting way too old for this. But I tell you, this is all about, we want to make his name famous. We sang that song. We see revival in the cities. We see the gospel, salvation in the streets. Do you see that? Do you see that? Wow. A lot of us can't get past our own personal experience. We're so stuck in what we're struggling with personally, and it's not even about that. Who the Son set free is free indeed. You freely receive, so freely give. We're on the giving side of this equation. Hello. Also, a multitude gathered from all the cities around to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. This was the early church, though, Pastor. They needed it. They needed the Holy Ghost to do stuff because they didn't have the Bible. See, once the Bible came, the church was mature, and we got Father, Son, and Holy Book. Now we got that guide we can read and follow. They didn't have that, so they needed signs and wonders. That's rubbish. That's not even biblical. It's nonsense. You gotta misinterpret your Bible to even believe that. So stupid. Stupid. I just said stupid. Go look it up, Authorized Version. Stupid is in the Bible. So is piss. Anyways. Never mind. My wife will talk to me later. I'll have to use the visitor's shower for another month. You think you're going to wash out your filthy mouth in there? I plead the. Yes, dear. Yes. They were all healed. Philip was one of the deacons, and Philip decided to go to Samaria. They hated Samaritans, yet Philip decided to go to Samaria. He went to Samaria, and listen, Acts chapter 8, verse 6, multitudes were in one accord, heeded what was spoken by Philip, and hearing and seeing, say hearing, say seeing, say hearing and seeing, hearing and seeing, hearing and seeing. See, if you don't have the seeing part, you don't have a full gospel service. If all we do is hear and there's no miracles and nobody set free, I don't even know if God was in that game. It's hear and see. It's show and tell. Let me show you what God did for me. Nothing like a testimony, amen? Seeing the miracles which he did. Ananias was a disciple in Acts chapter 9, just a disciple. He wasn't named before, wasn't named again, but here's a guy praying. God comes, says, Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street. Paul is there, not Paul, Saul. His name's Saul, but you're going to prophesy over him. You're going to call him Paul. You're going to tell him what I've called him to do. You're going to lay hands on him. Blindness is going to leave him. You're going to baptize him in the Holy Ghost, and you're going to release him in the ministry. Isn't that the guy who came to town to kill Christians? Yes, very same guy. Now run on down the road, heal him, set him free, prophesy his destiny, loose him into the glory of God. That was just a guy. Are there any guys, gals here today? This is a believer's anointing, eh? How many want those kind of, you know, things in their lives? How many want to wake up and you get a street number, you get a name, and you go down to that place, you find somebody there going, what's your name? And say, my name's Fred. God told me that Fred was coming to heal me. God told me that Fred was here, gave me your address, and I'm here to heal you. How many want some of that? You know, this church, our fellowship was born like that. My dad's church was started because in a home, people were praying, family in a home, they're praying. And then all of a sudden they said, come back next week. Two more families are going to join you. Oh, really? Come back next week. Well, we live here. So, yeah, but they were there next week and they started praying. All of a sudden, tap, tap, tap. Two families showed up and said, hey, God gave us your address, told us to come here, that he wants to start a community here. And he said, wow, God told us last week you're coming. So they sat together, started to pray. And all of a sudden, an 8-year-old got up and says, come back next week. I'm sending your pastor. An 8-year-old kid, really? Next week you're sending a pastor. Well, they're doing that in another town in Wales. A guy is praying with William Williams and Daniel Powell Williams. They're having a prayer meeting with another guy. And they said, the guy, what are you doing? He says, I came to find out what God wants to do with my life. So they prayed and they said, here's the name of a street in Pontypridd. Go to Pontypridd, go to this street, go to this number, knock on the door. Next week on Sunday, there's a church ready for you, Church Planting 101. He went down, knocked on the door, said, hi, my name is Pastor So-and-so. God told me there's a church here. He says, God told us you were coming. And that's how the church started. That wasn't back in the book of Acts. That was, you know, just about 80 years ago over there in Wales. That's how our church really started. It didn't start with, you know, church planting strategies and church growth. It began by supernatural revelation and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. A disciple named Ananias, Acts chapter 9, 17 and 18. Ananias left, went to his house, laid hands on Saul. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the way, came here, he sent me, boom, that you might receive your sight, be filled with the Holy Ghost. He baptized him in water and sent him into his destiny. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul always ministered in signs and wonders. He considered the full presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ is not without the miraculous. You cannot teach the good news without miracles. You cannot teach the good news without miracles. That's what Paul really believed. Acts 14:3, therefore, they stayed there a long time. They got beat up and attacked and challenged. So what are we going to do? Well, let's leave. Nope, we're going to stay here a long time. It's hard. It's difficult. We're getting beat up. Let's stay. Okay, so they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. The word of his grace. The word of his grace. Granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Has anybody got a hand? The most powerful words in evangelism. Are you ready? Five of them. Can I pray for you? So you ask people that this week. And then you use your jumper cables and you go and loose the kingdom of God. It's just like that, speaking boldly, and people were touched and healed. Romans 15, 18 to 19. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me. I'm not talking about anything I've ever done. If I talk about anything, it's about what Christ did. It's what Christ did through me. I dare not boast about anything except Christ has done through me, bringing to the Gentiles and to bring the Gentiles to God by my message. And say, and by my message, and by my message, and say, and conjunction, what's your function? Ties things together, right? You remember that, right? My message, and by the way, I worked among them. They were convinced by my eloquent speaking. No, he says they were convinced by the power. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit in this way. And in this way, I have fully presented the good news. What's this way? This way is in word and deed, show and tell. If it's all tell, and there's no show. Are you guys still here? Fully persuaded. The good news, that's how I did it, of Christ. All the way, every single place I went, through Jerusalem, all the way to Illyricum, everywhere I went, I preached the good news and we did miracles. Paul said the kingdom of God is not a matter of logos. It's not a matter of talking. It's not a matter of word. The kingdom of God is power. The kingdom of God is power. If you're doing stuff without power, it's a different gospel. It's got to be power. The only thing that matters is that the people that we serve get a touch of God. That's all that matters. Power. Jesus said, if there's not evidence of the miraculous, don't listen to my message. Jesus said that. Jesus did. Jesus said, if you come to my Bible study and there's no miracles, don't listen to what I taught. In fact, he said, don't even believe in me. Don't listen to my message if my message was taught without miracles. Don't. Jesus said that. The Son of God, the incarnate Christ. That's what he said. John 10, 37 to 38. Don't believe me. I thought Jesus came to heal people and show people the Father. But here's his words. Don't believe me unless. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done. Even if you don't believe me, believe in the works, because then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. It's very, very clear that Jesus is saying a powerless message is unacceptable. That's why I want to go golfing, because that's terrifying. But, you know, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about just giving Jesus a chance to show up. It's just about gathering together and having a gal wander in who has never been here, doesn't know who we are, is there at the Ronald McDonald House, and God says, go to Impact Church. Wow. That's interesting. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. So Jesus is saying no one would be under any sense of sin or guilt or anything if there wasn't miracles. If there's no miracles, he says, but because they have seen everything I did, yet still hate me and my Father. John 20, I'm almost done. It's okay, hang on. John 20, and many other signs truly Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. They're written that you might believe. What's written? The signs, the wonders, the miracles, the healings. They're written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So the early church insisted on the miraculous. The apostle Paul insisted on the miraculous. Jesus said, don't even listen to my teachings if there's no miraculous. Here at our church, we say, come back for another history lesson about Jesus next week. Thank you, brother. I guess this sermon's going to take another bottle of water. I was in Calgary once. The lady came up and put 5 bottles of water on the pulpit. And I went, this is a 5-bottle sermon. Oh, my God. I had no idea. Come on, stand up with me. Bless you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. All right, we're all praying. Everybody's praying right now. We're all praying.